Edition of Bauer Power Hour. Apologize for my man voice in advance. I have a little bit of a cold, but that won't stop me from talking about all the amazing things that happened this week, so let's jump right on in. We start with Larry Mouse at the FBI, who's hot on the trail of Motobo, who's been abducted by the group that Jack and Tony are working with. He's trying to get everyone together and says another attack is imminent and we need to catch Tony and Jack because they have the CIP device and that is going to stop this whole thing. And he also informs everyone about Renee and her abduction. Sean pulls audio forensics from the recording that of the phone call about Renee, and there's no sort of tags or sounds to tell them anything about the location of where she is. And Sean is trying to console Larry because, as we know, he has a little bit of a crush. And he was saying, oh, she was a good agent. And then that, of course, upsets Larry. And he's like, we don't know she's dead yet. And gets all kind of has a hissy fit about that. Back to Bill and Chloe. Apparently, Jack notified Bill and Chloe where Renee was because they went and rescued her. Someone asked me, one of my friends on Facebook sent me a question and asked, you know, how did they know? And I don't really know. I think, though, that Jack might have had a wire or something, or, you know, I have no idea, but that's my guess. So anyways, they dig her out, and of course she gets the adrenaline shot to the chest. That's like the induction. You're officially 24 character when you get the adrenaline shot to the chest. It's like a badge of honor. And that, of course, re-enervates her, and she's like, WTF, and they explain, oh, we work with Jack, all that sort of thing, and so she understands what's going on. Back with Jack in the terrorist group, he's talking to Emerson, and he's asks him, why didn't you ever tell Tony how you got him out of CTU? And so they explain, and apparently Henderson, we all remember Henderson, he was a nice character. He's the one who shot Tony in the heart with the adrenaline, and he missed the artery on purpose, just enough, you know, so that you would think he was dead, so he was in on it. They knew that they could use Tony in their plan, and, but, of course, Jack killed Henderson, and so the whole thing kind of went to pot, but Tony chose to stay with them anyway, because he was so consumed with hatred over Michelle, and you could see Tony in the corner kind of, you can tell he's really sort of repentant, and he feels really bad about doing that, but at the time, you know, it's understandable. And he says the rules have changed and there was no such thing as honor left. Dead men have to take care of each other because we're brothers, which was really a nice scene, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, Jack's sort of, you know, he's worried about Tony's state of mind at the moment because he looks really shaken, and he's, you know, asking if he's ready for this because they have to get Motobo. This, you know, this is the only way that this they're going to be able to stop this whole terrorist threat from happening. They've got to stay with it, and Tony assures Jack that he's okay, and so they get to the place where they're going to meet someone, I guess, to drop off the Motobos, and Jack goes and gets them, and then all of a sudden he and Tony go Rambo on everyone, and he kills one of Emerson's men, and Emerson grabs Jack, and he has him by the throat, and he holds him at gunpoint, because he obviously figures out that something's going on between Jack and Tony. You know, they're doing those, like, secret look things, and he's smart, and he knows something's going on, so he's trying to figure out what's going on, and Tony kills another one of the guards. And they start talking about diamonds. Apparently, that's the reward that Tony was gonna get. He's working for some diamonds, but it's not about the diamonds anymore. I can't, you know, take this killing innocent people thing. Jack is urging Tony to take the shot because, you know, he wants Emerson to get off him. And Tony he shoots Emerson in the arm and in the neck as well. And so that's kind of, and Emerson just looks shocked because earlier in this season they were talking about, oh, we're so close, we're like brothers, and all that. So that shocked him that Tony would shoot him in the throat And obviously, you know, that was sort of a fatal wound there. Back with Bill and Chloe, they're still trying to explain to Renee about the operation that they're going, that they're, you know, undertaking. Tells her, you can't contact Larry. She's all about, oh, but I trust him, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, that got you far. That got you in this mess. Whatever. And, you know, they explain, well, Dubaku has informants in the FBI. They're going to know, if you contact Larry, they're going to know Jack's involved. They're going to know, you know, all this stuff. You can't do it. We're so close, you know, to stopping this. Dubaku's the key. And, you know, we don't know who's been corrupted, but we can find out when we get the CIP device. And because we have something that Dubaku wants, and obviously it's Motobo, and he's the best chance to get at the CIP module. And so she's not allowed to let anyone know she's alive until they have that. Which is familiar. We've seen a lot of people go through that sort of thing. And then Jack calls Bill and says, you know, tells him, we've got him, we're good. And Bill says, you have to get Motobo to agree to, you know, put himself up for this. And Jack's like, okay, I'll get him to agree, and then, you know, we'll come over here. So Jack is sort of, you know, comforting Motobo. He's like, okay, you know, we're working, we're for you, but we're trying to stop Dubaku. We need you. We have a plan, but we don't have much time, so you're going to have to come with us. And, of course, we don't have much time. That's sort of the theme. On to Dubaku and his henchmen. They something went on with the Henderson team. Oh, that's okay. They're a loose end. Do we have any response from the White House yet? Nope. Taylor's hope is she's, you know, they think she's trying to hold out hope that she'll find Motobo, which that's exactly what she's doing. But obviously, you know, that's kind of pissing him off because he wants them to go away and the forces aren't. But, you know, and that's going to result in a lot of dead Americans. We still have, you know, 1,300 planes in the air. They've been trying to land the planes, but they still have 1,300 in the air. But so they're going to target one, and it's going to be one that's headed for Washington, D.C. Back with Allison Taylor. One of her advisors or whoever comes in and says, we've detected another firewall breach. This means that there's another attack coming and people are going to die. And she says that she wants to speak with all the first responders around the country because they need to brace for the worst. And, you know, Ethan, her advisor, we've confirmed that he is her advisor. He said it. She said it. So that's what he is. Ethan is her advisor. And he's still on this whole kick about not wanting to, he wants to back out of Sangala. He doesn't want to get involved with that. And he's still trying to convince her to change her mind. And, you know, he's saying, we can preempt the strike. We can't invade, you know, we can't invade without Motobo. And we don't have Motobo. So why are you risking these lives? My opinion is that we're out of options, and, you know, we need to get out. And Allison still stays with it. She says, the FBI is tracking this CIP device. We can still find Motobo. You know, we still have a chance, and, you know, so we're going to keep going. Back with Tony and Jack, Emerson obviously has been shot in the throat, and he's bleeding pretty bad. And, you know, Tony, again, he's trying to figure out what's going on with Tony, why that just happened, and still thinks it's about these diamonds, and it's not about the diamonds. And he says, are you looking for forgiveness? And he tells Tony to go to hell, and you have to live with this because you know, he killed him. And they were like brothers. They were really close. And poor Tony. So yeah. And, you know, Jack's convincing the Motobos to go along with their plan. And he's saying, you're asking us to risk our lives. And, you know, yeah, that's pretty much the plan. And Jack's like, we need to find Dubaku. And his wife is, you know, Motobo's wife is, you know, she trusts Jack. And Motobo asks her, how can we trust this man? And she just said he has no reason to lie, which is completely and absolutely true. And so he tells Jack, you know, well, we're going to do what you ask. And he says, you and your wife. And he's, you know, Dubaku's going to back out if we don't have her. And Motobo's not going to let anything happen to her. He doesn't want to put her up to this. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want anything to happen to her. And Jack says, you know, we can't promise she won't be hurt, and that's just how it's going to have to be. And Motobo's wife says she wants to do it because she's ashamed that she'd open the door. And she's going to do it for her country, because Sangala is her country too, and I'm not going to leave your side. After 22 years, we're going to do this together. And so he gets them on board. The Matoas are going to go along with this. So Jack goes to Tony and tells, you know, they're going to work with us, so we have to go. And back with the big bad terrorists, they have indeed hacked into the FSA grid again, and they're controlling the Washington, D.C. plane. Uh-oh. So, back at the White House, some advisor says, oh, we can't, there's no luck in localizing the firewall, so it's going to happen anywhere. It could hit from anywhere, this next attack. And someone gets a scrambled call, and it's Dubaku demanding to speak with the president, and he says, I'm disappointed that you have not taken my demands seriously. You're still in a position to change things. And Allison says, we've had some serious discussions. I'm not going to budge. And he says, you know, the deadline's gone. Look out the window. And she does, and there's two planes colliding in the air. So there's two planes full of people that just collided in the air, and there's an explosion. And you can definitely see on her face how it's affected her. And Dubaku says, 10,000 more Americans will die if you don't withdraw your troops within the hour. And President Taylor asks if the cabinet is still assembled. Assessing the damage, they find that there's the commercial plane had 240 people on it and 10 crew, and the other plane had, I think it was a cargo plane, and it had 21 people on it. And obviously there's going to be residential neighborhood damage as well from all the planes falling out of the sky. And everyone is sort of up in arms, and everyone's saying, we have to withdraw, but Allison's not going to. And Tim, I think, is some sort of security guard or Secret Service. He says, we're not prepared to contend with these people. This is nothing compared to what they could do. They could, you know, now they can target power grids, nuclear facilities, those kinds of things. Without Matobo, this operation is pointless. And Allison still says, you know, there's a chance that he could be recovered. I'm not giving in. And everyone says, you're guaranteeing another attack. And then she goes on to say a beautiful speech. We do not negotiate with terrorists, and you can leave if you don't like it. There are people who are threatening to quit, and she said, you know, go ahead, I don't care. And someone did, and she says, gentlemen, ladies, I know that there are many of you who agree with Secretary Stevens. I can help you understand my reasonings. I took the oath, and I swore to the American people that this country would continue to be a force of good, and these ideals are being challenged. How we respond will not only define this administration, but an entire generation, and not just Americans, but Senegalans, and anyone who looks to us for guidance and strength. I won't fail them, and neither will you. We're in for some tough times, but let's make sure we're ready. Oh, it's beautiful. Back with Jack and Tony, Bill and Chloe arrive and says, you know, we're going to put a wire on Matobo so that we're with you the whole time. And, of course, Renee talks to Jack, and he's not apologetic in the least, which I think is great. And he asks her if she's okay, and she's like, what do you think? You shot me and buried me alive. You know, you could have trusted me with this. And Jack was like, well, would you have believed me? No, so shut up. So Chloe goes and puts the wire on Matobo and his teeth, which is kind of cool. And he asks her if she's FBI, and she says, no, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Of course, classic Chloe. And Jack tells Renee, you know, we can't trust anyone. And she asks, you know, do you really think that the four of you can stop this? And he says, we have to. There's no question. We just have to. Back at the White House, Ethan and Tim, yes, I mentioned them before, are talking and saying, she's in no state of mind and blah, blah, blah. Basically, they really disagree with her and they want her to change her mind. And so they're plotting on how to get her to change her mind. And apparently there's someone she'll listen to. Who? I don't know. But I think it might be the First Gentleman, who, if you remember from last time, has been poisoned by Brian, his driver, Secret Service guy who Brian called to drop off Samantha, drops her off. She walks in, sees Henry just sitting on his couch, her couch, because he can't move. He's been paralyzed, and he can move his eyes, but he can't move anything else, really, yet. And she's like, what's going on? Are you okay? And of course, Brian comes in and stabs her in the back and kills her, which, ugh. And then Ethan calls Brian, who is like, where's this First Gentleman? So obviously, they think that Henry can can talk some sense into the president and get her to change her mind. And he wants to know where he is. And he says, well, he's meeting with Samantha in her apartment. Well, why aren't you with him? What, you know, what were you thinking? You know, blah, 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 blah. Get back here. I don't care. Just get back here. So, then back with Tony. Tony meets some guy that they were, who thought he was meeting with Emerson, and he's like, well, you're not meeting with Emerson, because they're all dead. Hee hee. I decided I didn't want to split the cut. That's, you know, I thought you guys were close. Well, that's before he left me to rot with the FBI. And, you know, that's the way it is, so do you want Motobo or not? And first he wants these diamonds. So he gives him the diamonds, and then there's a lot of them, and they're really nice. So then Motobo, he gets Motobo, and his wife, and the guy's like, well, if you keep your tracks clean, we might call on you again for another job. Then all of a sudden, Jack, who's, like, on a ledge somewhere, starts sniping them, and I don't really understand what the point of that was, but whatever. And then Tony's like, well, let's just forget about that. Let's forget that I just killed two of your men. You got what you want, now just leave. And Chloe is monitoring them as they leave. She's got them on heat vision or something like that. I don't really know, but... Back at Samantha's apartment, Brian is fixing to remember he was going to frame Henry and make it look like he killed Samantha and then killed himself. So he's trying to, he's fixing to hang Henry, but Henry is slowly getting his strength back. You can see him sort of twitching his hands, his fingers, and you can tell he's like, he's going to do this. And he gets his voice back and he says, don't do this, please. And then, somehow he gets Brian in a chokehold and they fall off the balcony and he chokes Brian and Brian dies. So, that was kind of sad. Now, in the back at the terrorist lair, the White House still has not complied and she is obviously insane. And so they're gonna target Kidron, Ohio, which I think has a nuclear plant there. And there's about 30,000 people who live there and there are fixing to be about another 18,000 casualties, and then Dubaku just says, begin. I really enjoyed this episode. It was pretty much amazing and tension-filled, and yeah, so I do wonder how Bill and Chloe knew where Renee was, and that is a good question. Ow. I just hit my knee. Ow. Anyways, so if anyone caught that or has the answer, you should let me know, because it's a little thing, but it's probably going to bug me until I figure it out. Obviously, I thought that Renee getting the adrenaline shot to the chest was funny. It's like, that's how they initiate you into... Because how many people do we know have, you know, that's brought them back? Tony, obviously... was supposed to kill him, but it obviously didn't. And then we've got Jack, and just, ugh. So I thought, you know, she's not important enough to have been, you know, brought back like that. But whatever, whatever. And I thought that, you know, as soon as Bill and Chloe explained what was going on, that she would stop complaining at Jack, but she didn't. Even though he was on the good side, she still was being so annoying. She's so annoying. I do not like her at all. I mean, maybe she'll change. Maybe she'll, you know, maybe she'll do something really heroic. But right now, she's just annoying. Like I said last week, it's just really frustrating as viewers when we've watched Jack for 7 seasons. Well, 6, I guess. 6 seasons. And we know that if Jack says something, that you do it. And it's always just frustrating to see someone who thinks they understand Jack and then they don't. And oh, so she's really not on my good list right now. Also, with the Henderson thing, the Henderson link, I was talking to one of the people who watched my or listened to my show about a day before. So actually, I think the day of Monday, and he was totally right. He totally spot on called that, so that was cool. Yeah, and Tony, I like Tony more and more. The more that the more screen time he gets, the more I like him. And I thought Carlos Bernard's performance was incredible, and just to see the pain on Tony's face, it was just, so moving. And, you know, it's understandable to me, you know, why he would want to stay with these guys, because he was so angry at the government for what they did to Michelle. And, you know, even though he did do some bad things, you can see in his face that he's just so remorseful and repentant about it. And, you know, he's back on the good side, and he's just he's a good guy to have on your side, definitely, for sure. And so props to Carlos Bernard for doing an amazing job with that. Let's see, I wrote some more notes where, oh, I was right about, half right about the whole Henry and Samantha thing. He didn't manage to kill Henry, but he did manage to kill Samantha, and I thought her death was horrible. I don't know if I really, I mean, I guess it was effective just because she was just so powerless, and she just, like, she didn't even have a chance to fight. She just took it and died, and it was just like, oh, it was hard to watch. And I thought that they would both get out, but I guess I was wrong there. But Henry got out, and so he's kind of he looks kind of, I don't know, he's really effeminate, and I don't know if it's interesting to me that we have Alison Taylor, who's so strong. She's a strong woman. And then, you know, we've got her husband, who's all, you know, very supportive of her, but he seems like he's the woman in the relationship. He just seems really slight and really effeminate to me. And to see him kick some butt, that was cool. He, you know, he's definitely working up to be worthy of the husband of such a strong woman. So, good for him. I hope that he's able to, you know, achieve whatever he wants. I think that I'm really glad he didn't die, because you can't, I don't think they could have thrown that at Allison as well. That would suck. That would be such a horrible thing to deal with. Like, I have to pick between these two horrible choices of either a buttload of Sangalans dying or a buttload of Americans dying, and my husband was just killed. So, yeah, that's good day. But I'm glad that he's away, and he can bring his son justice. Also, let's see what else. Oh yeah, like I mentioned in the recap, I don't really know what the point of Jack sniping those two men were, but hey, we have some numbers to put up on the kill count, and that leads me to...
Yeah, boy!
First line? First line. Son of a... Yeah, boy. I don't remember the order in which I recorded those lists, so I'm just going to make up a new order right now. Anyway, so since I was talking about the kill count, let's just go right into that. So, we had all those deaths from the planes, and I tally about 271 deaths from the planes. That's not counting civilian casualties. I don't really know. I don't really know enough to estimate how many deaths would come from that, so I'll be listening on the next show to figure out how many there were. They usually say. So far we've got 271, and then we have Emerson died and one of his men died. So that's another two. So 273. Yeah, three. Sorry, I really suck at math. And then we had another two deaths from Jack. Jack killed two of this random guy's men, so that's 275, and then Samantha, of course, 276, and then last but not least, well, probably, because I didn't like him, we had Brian. I don't really know if he's dead or just incapacitated, but right now I'm going to go with dead, because he was kind of a punk. So yeah, so we have 277 casualties in all, plus the civilian deaths, which I have no idea. Hopefully they'll clue me in next time. Now, with the curse count, we still don't have Jack really releasing any of his anger. He hasn't really gotten that mad except with Tony, and even then he didn't slip and say anything, any naughty words. So that's kind of sad. Kind of sad, but I'm sure we'll get some. It's still early in the day. There's still a lot of stuff to be done, so I'm looking forward to that. As for best line and worst line, I definitely have to hand best line for the week to Alison Taylor, who is incredible, and I love her. And the speech she gave to her cabinet was really nice, and it was really inspiring. I was a little worried that she was going to back down for a minute. She just had that, you know, hesitant look on her face about, you know, what she should do, and that, you know, for a second I thought she was going to back down, but she didn't. She's staying strong. You know, she's facing everyone down. No one else agrees with her. She's totally alone on this point, but she's sticking with it, and I really respect her for that, and I love her, and I hope she, you know, continues to stay strong and stay with it, because she's shaping up to be, you know, on David Palmer territory. That's how much I like her. Worst line would probably go to Renee. I just find her really obnoxious, and until she understands that when Jack says something, you do it, and you have to trust him no matter what. And I think she'll probably learn that, because it looks like they're having some sort of, like, sparky chemistry to them. And you can sense something's gonna happen. And I think she'll learn her lesson about Jack. But until then, she's just really obnoxious, and I hope that she gets better, because... ugh. Who I'd most like to punch in the face? I don't really know this season. There wasn't really a clear-cut villain who was... worthy of it. I guess Brian, but he got punched in the face. So, I don't really think there's anyone this episode who is really worthy of it. I mean, we've known the bad guys that came in this episode the whole time, so there's really no one new, or no one did anything stupid enough to warrant being punched in the face. So, yeah. Gosh, that was a good episode, and I want to hear what you all thought of it. So, send me an email at bowerpowerhour@podomatic.com, or you can be my friend on my Facebook page. I actually have 3 friends now. Oh yeah, oh yeah. So, thank you to Jonathan, Eric, and Leon for adding me. I've been talking to Eric a lot, and it's been really fun, and I wish that more people would contact me, and we could talk about it more, because I've been having a lot of fun with it, and you know, that's what the show is for, is to interact with the 24 community. So seriously, send me an email. You can check out my show notes at bowerpowerhour24.blogspot.com, and I've gotten some feedback and some ideas, and maybe, you know, hopefully I'll be able to incorporate those into future shows. So again, it's been fun, and don't forget to tune in next week for another awesome adrenaline-filled hour of 24.